Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back. We are continuing our series, Await, learning about awaiting for and believing in the coming of Mashiach. Over the past four episodes, we analyzed a pithy yet highly enigmatic statement which is made in the Gemara in Masechet Sanhedrin. I'm not going to repeat it. For brevity's sake, I'm going to suggest that if you're joining for the first time, you may want to watch the previous four episodes. They kind of flow one into the other. The Gemara says that Mashiach, the Messianic redemption, will come to us when we divert our attention. Diversion of attention seems to be a fantastic idea, a great way to accelerate the coming of Mashiach. The Gemara even proves this from a parallel teaching. Of course, that flies in the face of everything we understand about the concept of Mashiach and the way our prayers and our articulation of faith have been formulated for millennia. We marshaled a kaleidoscope of different methods, different ways to understand the teaching of the Gemara in a manner that is consistent with authentic, timeless Torah teachings. In this episode, I want to offer an entirely new perspective. The perspective of Chassidus, specifically the teachings of Chassidus as they are brought to us through the Alter Rebbe in the school of Chabad. So here's something fascinating. The Book of Tanya, the Alter Rebbe's mystical magnum opus, is of course a distillation of the teachings of the Baal Shem Tov and the Maggid, the fathers of Chassidus, as well as the teachings that are drawn from the writings of the Maharal of Prague and the Shulchan Aruch Kodesh. The Alter Rebbe in his book called Tanya sees himself or presents himself as a malakit, one who is merely gathering together different ideas and Torah teachings from his predecessors. Of course, there's a tremendous amount of novelty in Tanya. So where do you find that novelty? Suppose you'd like want to look for an index as to find where are the novel ideas that are addressed and articulated, explained, clarified in the Book of Tanya. Where are they found? Without learning the entirety of Tanya, a mafteich in yonim, an index, would be a very helpful thing. So in 1954, the Rebbe, our Rebbe, publishes a mafteich on Tanya, an index on Tanya. And it's something that's quite unprecedented. In general, the Rebbe pioneered the concept of indexes on Sifri Chassidus. The mafteich in yonim of Tanya, as I understand it, and I'm not speaking with any kind of authority, though it seems pretty clear from a variety of experts I spoke to, that the Rebbe had begun working on this somewhere in the 1940s and only releases it in 1954, several years after the Rebbe has ascended to the leadership of Chassidim. And it's a mind-blowing kind of mafteich, because the things that you would expect to be there oftentimes aren't, and the things that are there are very often unexpected. Clearly, this is an entire different plane of thinking, totally beyond or transcendent of the way most people, if not almost everybody, typically has learned Sefer HaTanya. And there's a lot to say about it, and I'm probably not the one best equipped to speak about the Rebbe's Mafteich on Tanya. But I was very intrigued, because I'm giving these classes on Mashiach, to look at what the Rebbe's Mafteich on Tanya would say about Mashiach as it's presented in Tanya. And quite fascinatingly, this is in most prints of the Tanya on page Kuf Pei Aleph, in the Hebrew page numbers, The Erech, the Inyan is Mashiach. So the first location that the Rebbe sends us off to is the first section of Tanya, and that's in the 36th chapter. There, you'll find the discussion about Yemot HaMashiach. The very next Erech, the very next place you'll find Mashiach talked about in Tanya, and I have to tell you that Mashiach is mentioned many, many times in Sefer HaTanya, is the fourth section of Tanya, which is called Igeres HaKedesh, and the Rebbe says that'll be in Simen Dalet, in the fourth chapter. And he writes, and I'm quoting from the Rebbe's Mafteach, Bo Behesach Hadas, he comes by diverting one's attention. And then he says, this is true insofar as Bias Mashiach Bechlal, the coming of Mashiach, broadly speaking, on a cosmic level, as well as Bechol Echad V'Echad, the concept of Mashiach within each and every one of us. And that's a subject which we are going to be talking about, Be'ezrat Hashem, in some of the classes that I've given previously about Mashiach. We talk about this idea of a Mashiach, or spark of the Redeemer, within each and every single member of Am Yisrael. And this was like so intriguing to me, because the Gemara says, you know, Mashiach ba behesach hadas, and that's hard to understand. Okay. But here, the Rebbe is telling us that in the book of Tanya, if you want to see, and again, these are my words, a chiddush, a novelty, a fresh approach, a new dimension of Torah teaching about Yemot HaMashiach, you go to chapter 36 of Lakutei Amorim, the first section of Tanya, and the next real novelty about Mashiach is Mashiach's arrival. Not the days of Mashiach, the coming of Mashiach. And the coming of Mashiach is linked to Hesach Hadas. Now, in the previous episodes, we kind of explained how it's not what you think it is. And it doesn't mean that you should be forgetful about Mashiach or mindless about Mashiach. No. It means something quite different. It means to be diverting one's attention from a certain dimension or detail, but not that one shouldn't be thinking or talking about Mashiach. Well, it's certainly not what it means. And it is definitely not the way it's explained in Tanya. So with no further ado, I thought that since we were talking about this Gemara, the right thing for us to do together in order to create what we call a completion of the subject is to take a few minutes to look at Simen Dalet of Igeres HaKedesh and see what the Alter Rebbe says there. And we'll understand the Gemara in a totally new, fresh, and different light. I want to reiterate before I actually begin to share the contents of the first part of Simen Dalet of Igeres HaKedesh, you really should look at and listen to the previous episodes, because Torah Chasidus Chabad comes to shed light, building on all of the information, the knowledge, the ideas and ideals of Torah up until the arrival of Torah Chasidus. So what does Alter Rebbe talk about in Simen Dalet? Well, he talks about this idea, a statement, in fact, that's made in the Gemara in Masechet Shabbat on page 139. A very similar statement is found in Masechet Sanhedrin on page 97. And the statement is that Ein Yisrael Nigon, the Jewish people, will not be redeemed Ela B'tzdaka, save through acts of loving kindness, what the world calls charity, what we refer to as righteousness, to do what's right, not what's easy or expedient, but to do what's right. And what's right is that if you have more money than you need to keep body and soul together, you should share it with somebody who's missing those means. So Mashiach won't come save these acts of loving kindness, these acts of righteousness. And we know this because there is a verse in the prophecies of Yeshayahu HaNavi where Isaiah says, Vishoveha, and her return is effectuated mitzadaka. So that kind of stimulates or opens the conversation. And the Alter Rebbe asks a question about tzedakah, about the particular phraseology of some of the verses of tzedakah. And he says, in order to understand why it is that tzedakah is so effective, he says, I really need to take you on a little journey. And this journey is going to be about understanding a verse which is found in the book of Psalms. It's chapter 27, and it's L'cha omar libi bakshufonai. That to you, my heart said, seek out my face. What does this mean? Alter Rebbe immediately elaborates on this idea. What is the meaning of bakshufonai? What is the meaning of seek out my face? He says, this means pnimiyut halev, the inner recesses of the heart. That's the meaning of bakshufonai. Fonai, the word fonai, which is typically understood as face, really is about pnimiyut or inwardness. And because it's l'cha omar libi, because the heart is speaking, it speaks about the inwardness of the heart. What does that mean? So pnimiyus halev, he begins to explain. He says that in the heart, there is passion. There's a fire. There's an energy. In fact, the heart's function is one of energetic pumping, and that creates heat. The brain doesn't exhibit a tremendous amount of muscle movement. The heart is a very powerful muscle. It's constantly pumping, and it actually makes or creates warmth, a warm body. That's created by the pumping of the heart. As the phrase goes, hot-blooded. So there's two levels or two dimensions within the heart. There's what's called chitzonius halev, the outer layer of the heart, and then there's the inner, the core, the essence of the heart. Chitzonius halev, the outer layer of the heart, says the Alter Rebbe. This refers to hislahavos hamislaheves mebechinas habina vahadas. This refers to the idea of fervor and passion, which is engendered or created through bina. And bina we're going to refer to as cognition. And we're going to call das recognition. I'm using the English translation of the Miller Tanya. I like the way he translates. It's an interesting way to translate it. So if chachma is intuition, translated as inquiry, so bina could be understanding or cognition. And then you reach a level of anaha. Okay, I got that now. Now I think I actually grasp this idea. I recognize this idea. I can recognize it or see how it's different from other ideas. I got it. We could also refer to the idea of das as a full awareness, full sense of comprehension and awareness to the point that I'm connecting. So I get that. I'm relating, I'm connecting to something. So there's the passion or the fervor which is engendered through bina and das, through this comprehension, profound understanding, to the point that I connect, I recognize and connect this with this idea. And when I do that, if it's about something godly, for example, it could get me excited about godliness. I could get it, moved, emotional about something spiritual. But that's all chitzenius. That's all on the outside. What's pnimius halev? Pnimius halev is the nekuda shebe pnimius halev va'oim kedaliba. The pnimius halev refers to that which touches the heart in the deepest of ways. And Alter Rebbe says that what touches the heart in the deepest of ways is lemaila mebechinas hadas, is transcendent of what we would call recognition and rhyme and reason. It's transcendent of that. It's not just a question of an intellectual or cerebral appreciation. It goes far beyond that. And he says, this is the meaning of mima'amakim krasicha, from the depths I call out, from umka deliba, from the depth of the heart. So that is to say, when a person contemplates or thinks about something for a very long time until they really kind of get it, what happens then is that it affects us emotionally. The things we grasp and understand intellectually will invariably affect us emotionally. At some point, if I've spent enough time thinking or contemplating about something, I'm going to start reacting emotionally. I'm going to start to relate to it. It's not just something I heard or an idea that's out there. This is something that I take personally. And it affects the heart. But ultimately, because the segue into the heart has come through my mind, it remains somewhat cerebral. It remains something that I could be aloof from. I'm enthusiastic, but I'm not entirely invested. And then there's a deeper level where I'm actually contemplating this with my heart. This is something I fully identify with. In fact, this is my cause. And because I identify with something in such a profound way, so it actually resonates in the heart. You know, in Chassidus we talk about this Zoharic expression of bina liba, that the heart understands, that there's cognition, emotional cognition. Now, it's interesting that in the beginning of Hayom Yom, the Rebbe introduces the entire book of Hayom Yom with a letter that was written by the fifth Rebbe, by the Rebbe Rashab. And the Rebbe Rashab there speaks about Yutes Kislev, what's called Rosh Hashanah of Chassidus, and he describes the essence of what is the teachings of Chassidus about. And he says, Mima Makim Krasicha Hashem. It's about calling out to God from the deepest of depths. He says, it's Lahamshech Bechinas Oimik Opnimius Torah Hashem. It's to connect to the deepest level of Hashem's Torah. And when we connect to the deepest level of God's teaching and doctrine, that stimulates Pnimius Va'atzmos Sheyor Bepnimius Nafshenu, that the inner rhythm of Torah should touch, stimulate, excite, and move the inner rhythm of who we are, of our emotional cognition. And of course, the teachings of Chassidus, as the Baal Shem Tov explained, are all about hastening and accelerating the process of Mashiach's coming. So studying the mystical secrets of Torah in a manner that can actually be absorbed fully, to the point that we can identify with it, to the point that we can stimulate the deepest essence of our neshama through it, hastens the process of universal redemption. So this is the business of the Chitzonius Alev and Pnimius Alev. And what we're looking for is something which touches me to the very core. And the Alter Rebbe gives a metaphor. He says, even in material matters, sometimes there's something which is really important to you. It's so important to you, you stake your very essence, your existence upon this. This becomes something that you feel is an existential struggle. It's an issue that cuts to the very essence of who you are. It's negeya to pnimius alev. And it causes you to do things which are, let's just say, not rational. A person is ready to make sacrifices that aren't logical or reasonable. And you may not be able to communicate or explain this in rational kind of frames or logical tones, but this becomes something that the person himself identifies with. It becomes like an obsession. Now of course the metaphor is incomplete. It's imperfect because when we talk about the nimshel, when we talk about the soul being piqued, we're talking about the truth of our essence, the truth of our neshama. It is true that sometimes people get really caught up in a cause or in the pursuit of a particular goal or achievement. they kind of got there logically. There was a reason that they decided that they wanted to invest themselves in this. And then it went far beyond cognition, rhyme, and reason. When we talk about the neshama, we're talking about stimulating the essence of something that is transcendent of cognition and recognition. And this, Alter Rebbe says, is b'chinas pnimius nekudas halev, which is l'maylem b'chinas hadas, which is beyond recognition. It's something that transcends rhyme and reason. It's beyond that which can be birthed by logic. And Alter Rebbe connects us to the concept of chokhmah. He says, not bina, not das, but chokhmah. Because chokhmah, which is what stimulates inquiry, but what really is like an intuition, isn't a logical thing. It's pre-logical. It's what stimulates the journey in search, in quest for comprehension and understanding. It's the where inquiry begins, but the chokhmah itself is transcendent of that. And Alter Rebbe goes into a whole discussion of the proverbial foreskin of the heart and how we reveal, we have to be able to reveal this. And he talks about the fact that in Galut, it is possible for not only the body to be displaced or exilically disoriented, but in fact, the neshama becomes disoriented and exiled. And what happens is that so many people get so caught up in things to the point of irrational engagement that they forget who they really are. And they're trying, kind of ignoring the core essence of who they are as a Yid. Now, this whole discussion, what Alter Rebbe is talking about over here, this is actually very similar to something that Alter Rebbe says in the 19th chapter of Tanya, where Alter Rebbe talks about what he says is mesirat nefesh, what he calls the idea of a person being faced with a life and death kind of decision. The person to be able to succeed in standing the test of faith, lamed b'nisoyin. So the Alter Rebbe says that when a person is oimid b'nisoyin, when a person is actually able to rouse himself from his spiritual slumber, and when a person is able to stand the test, he does so b'li tam v'das, without using reasoning, without using knowledge, without using fathomable intellect, cognition, or recognition. It's transcendent of this. And the Alter Rebbe describes this as connecting to the deepest core of who we are, which is neshama. And the Alter Rebbe talks about how one must engage in a struggle with the klipa, with the husk that conceals the core essence of the neshama. And he says that our goal has to be to achieve la'ahava es Hashem elekecha b'chol levavcha, to love Hashem with all your heart, b'chol nafshecha, l'man chayecha, that it becomes your very life, your very essence, your very the thing that defines you. And he says that is l'mayla mebechinas hadas, that is far beyond what we call recognition, intellectual awareness. And he says, V'lochein, therefore, Mashiach ba behesach hadas, l'klol l'shisol. Mashiach comes when we, the Jewish people, are roused from our spiritual slumber, when we experience a yearning, a powerful desire to reconnect to who we really are. And this is the gilui b'chinas nekudas pnimius haklolis. This represents revealing the core essence of our neshama. And when a core essence of our neshama is revealed, then we are experiencing hesech hadas. The word hesech, as I explained several episodes ago, literally means a movement away from. It's a movement away from recognition. It's a movement away from the cognition and comprehension. It's a movement away from what we would call the rhyme and reason of our relationship with God. Because Mashiach represents revealing the core essence of our soul. And were we to have achieved this, Mashiach would be here already. In other words, for all that Yiddishkeit places so much emphasis on understanding, on knowledge, on comprehension, and awareness on an intellectual level, the ultimate goal is to transcend all of that and to reveal what they call the Pintele Yid. And that act of Hesechadas, that act of devotion that's transcendent of rhyme and reason, is what catalyzes redemption. And that, my dear friends, is a tremendous chiddush, tremendous novelty. Very different from what we've learned previously about the concept of Hesechadas. This is the core mystical and inner message of the statement that's made by our sages, that Mashiach Ba, Mashiach indeed comes, Behesachadas. And I'll conclude where I began. It seems, and I'm just suggesting, that when the Rebbe highlights in the Erech, in the subject of Mashiach, he says, in Tanya, if you want to know what the Tanya contributes, the new ideas, new light that Tanya, that the Alter Rebbe in Chassidus sheds on the subject, if you want to understand what your Mot HaMashiach is, go to the 36th chapter of Tanya. If you want to know how we are to bring Mashiach, go to Siman Dalet. Mashiach comes behesach, when we move away from or transcend the concept of Das. In our next episode, we'll revisit this idea to share one final insight in the concept of Hesach Hadas before we move on to new and insightful subjects about awaiting for and believing in the imminent arrival of Mashiach. May it be b'mehera u'b'yameinu, speedily and in our days. Amen. Thank you so much for joining.